Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
Acts chapter 28. You'll recall that there has been a shipwreck after a protracted period of such horrible, terrifying storms that people went for a couple of weeks without eating anything. And that's how bad it was. Then they had a shipwreck, and then they get to land, and all of them made it alive. Chapter 28, this is the Word of God. "Once safely on shore, we found out that the island was called Malta. The islanders showed us unusual kindness. They built a fire and welcomed us all because it was raining and cold. Paul gathered a pile of brushwood, and as he put it on the fire, a viper, driven out by the heat, fastened itself on his hand. When the islanders saw the snake hanging from his hand, they said to each other, 'This man must be a murderer. For though he escaped from the sea, justice has not allowed him to live.' But Paul shook the snake off into the fire and suffered no ill effects. The people expected him to swell up or suddenly fall dead. But after waiting a long time and seeing nothing unusual happen to him, they changed their minds and said, 'He was a god.' There was an estate nearby that belonged to Publius, the chief official of the island. He welcomed us to his home and for 3 days entertained us hospitably. His father was sick in bed, suffering from fever and dysentery. Paul went in to see him and, after prayer, placed his hands on him and healed him. When this had happened, the rest of the sick on the island came and were cured. They honored us in many ways, and when we were ready to sail, they furnished us with the supplies we needed. After 3 months, we put out to sea in a ship that had wintered in the island. It was an Alexandrian ship with the figurehead of the twin gods Castor and Pollux. We put in at Syracuse and stayed there 3 days. From there, we set sail and arrived at Rhegium. Next day, the south wind came up, and on the following day, we reached Puteoli. There, we found some brothers who invited us to spend a week with them. And so, we came to Rome. The brothers there had heard that we were coming, and they traveled as far as the Forum of Appius and the Three Taverns to meet us. At the sight of these men, Paul thanked God and was encouraged. When we got to Rome, Paul was allowed to live by himself with a soldier to guard him. 3 days later, he called together the leaders of the Jews. When they had assembled, Paul said to them, 'My brothers, although I have done nothing against our people or against the customs of our ancestors, I was arrested in Jerusalem and handed over to the Romans. They examined me and wanted to release me because I was not guilty of any crime deserving death. But when the Jews objected, I was compelled to appeal to Caesar, not that I had any charge to bring against my own people. For this reason, I have asked to see you and talk with you. It is because of the hope of Israel that I am bound with this chain.' They replied, 'We have not received any letters from Judea concerning you, and none of the brothers who have come from there has reported or said anything bad about you. But we want to hear what your views are, for we know that people everywhere are talking against this sect.' They arranged to meet Paul on a certain day and came in even larger numbers to the place where he was staying. From morning till evening, he explained and declared to them the kingdom of God and tried to convince them about Jesus from the law of Moses and from the prophets. Some were convinced by what he said, but others would not believe. They disagreed among themselves, and began to leave after Paul had made this final statement. The Holy Spirit spoke the truth to your forefathers when he said through Isaiah the prophet, "Go to this people and say, you will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. Therefore, I want you to know that God's salvation has been sent to the Gentiles, and they will listen." For 2 whole years, Paul stayed there in his own rented house and welcomed all who came to see him. Boldly and without hindrance, he preached the kingdom of God and taught about the Lord Jesus Christ. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. Well, obviously, we could spend a few more weeks just going through this chapter, but God willing, we're going to try and at least hit the high points today. The first thing I want you to do is try and imagine yourself, if you're the Apostle Paul, and you've been through this horrible, prolonged storm at sea, you're a prisoner, you're in chains, and everybody'd given up. The storm just wouldn't quit. It was that bad for that long that everybody gave up, till the Lord sent a message to Paul and said, "I'm going to pull you through. I'm going to save you. You'll be spared, as will the other folks on board." So then the ship runs aground. The waves beat it to splinters. And you grab hold of a plank, and after spending some time adrift in the sea, finally get to shore. When you get to shore, picture this, you're exhausted, you're wet, and it's cold, and it was raining. So here they were, and the locals built them a fire so they could warm up. Isn't that nice? So I know what I'd be doing then. I'd be standing there warming up. Not Paul. He says, "Well, I'm going to help." So even though he's just washed ashore and it's cold and raining and he's dripping wet, he decides he's going to go out and gather some wood to put on the fire. And he gathers up a bunch of wood and brings it to put on the fire. And when he does so, the warmth causes a poisonous snake to get stirred up. And it bites Paul on the hand and is dangling from his hand. A poisonous snake. I mean, what else? We had the horrible storm. Then we had the shipwreck. Then I was adrift in the sea. Now I've gotten to shore and it's raining and cold and I decide I'm going to help. And I get snake bit. Anybody ever been there? You're trying to do the right thing. You're trying to have a good attitude. I want to participate. And you're trying to do the right thing. And boom, you get bitten by not just a snake, a viper, a poisonous snake. This isn't a garter snake. This is something other people see. What do? At that point, you just give up. No, Paul shook it off into the fire. That's the way to deal with a poisonous viper. Burn it to death. Well, when this occurs, the people immediately recognized what was going on. The barbarians said, "Ah, you see, this man must be a murderer. And justice has not allowed him to live." And so they all watch. I saw the snake. He's toast. There's no way. He's not going to pull through this. And they're waiting for him to swell up and die. They've already decided that's what's going to happen. Suffice it to say that people often misinterpret what's going on when they think they're being very insightful. Be careful. We all have the capacity to think we know what's going on and to jump to the wrong conclusion. That's what these folks did. Well, when things did not go the way they expected, what did they do? Did they learn from their mistake and say, well, I guess we were wrong. We don't really know what's going on. No, they moved from one false insight to another false insight, having concluded that, well, he's not a murderer and he's not going to die. He must be a god. I mean, they went from believing this, which was false, to believing this, which was the other extreme and also false. Now, frankly, if I had a choice between people thinking I was a murderer and people thinking I was a god, it would probably in some ways be more pleasant to have them thinking I'm a god. But that's really not at all what we want, is it? Because all of those gods are false. Well, but Paul writes to the Corinthians and says there are demons behind the idols. Yes, there are demons. They're real. We've been given authority over them. And the false gods of this world, the imagined deities of this world, are utterly powerless when they go up against the power of God. So, these folks thought Paul must be a god. He disabused them of that notion. How? Same thing he did everywhere, by pointing people to Jesus. He was welcomed into the home of the governing official, Publius, and when he got there, turns out Publius's dad was ill. He welcomed us to his home and for 3 days entertained us hospitably. His father was sick in bed, verse 8, suffering from fever and dysentery. That's a miserable thing. Paul went in to see him and after prayer placed his hands on him and healed him. Why after prayer? Why didn't he just walk in? Well, let me go see him. I'll heal him. No, because Paul did what the Lord told him to do. He said what the Lord told him to say. He had learned to follow the example of his Lord, Jesus. And so Paul prays, and then after he prays, he does what the Spirit moves him to do. He lays his hands on the man and heals him. So word gets out about that. This is pretty exciting. The father of the governor has just been healed. So all the sick people come. Oh. Let me tell you something. God still heals people today. Still does. But he's the one in charge. And so Paul isn't going to stay in Malta and run a hospital there or a place where people come for healing. But while he's in town, he makes quite an historic impression, because God chooses to manifest not only the power of his physical healing, but in that way to validate the message that Paul is proclaiming. Everywhere Paul went, he's telling people about Jesus. And he's telling people that Jesus Christ is Lord. Whatever's going on in your life, Jesus is the one you need to look to. So you're saying that if we put our trust in Jesus, basically, he will instantly heal us and make everything go smoothly for us? Yeah, like Paul. Beaten, imprisoned, falsely accused, suffers through a horrible storm, shipwrecked, gets to land, it's rainy and cold, tries to help, gets bitten by a snake. You can pretty much count on that kind of stuff if you follow Jesus. Well, are you saying if we follow Jesus, he'll heal or not? That's what I'm saying. Sometimes he miraculously, instantaneously, spectacularly heals. Sometimes he lets us suffer a long, long time and then heals. Sometimes he lets us suffer a long time and then calls us home. Whatever we go through, Jesus is enough.
Thank you for listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood.
Pastor Wood is a popular speaker for family and marriage retreats, conferences, and pro-life fundraisers. If you are planning an event, a retreat, or conference and would like to invite Pastor Wood to speak or teach, please visit pastorwood.org and fill out our speaker request form. At this site, you will also find over a dozen books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. Again, please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
So, and he's holding out his hand. The rest of the sick on the island came and were cured. And they honored us in many ways. And when we were ready to sail, they furnished us with the supplies we needed. They got on this boat with the two demon gods on the front. And apparently had a safe voyage. They met up with believers who'd heard they were coming. Verse 15, the brothers there had heard we were coming. And they traveled as far as the Forum of Appius and the Three Taverns to meet us. At the sight of these men, Paul thanked God and was encouraged. Did you hear this? That's the way it works in the body of Christ. We need one another. We need one another. Don't think that you're insignificant if you're not one of the people up front. All of us have a role to play. All of us need to be yielded to the Lord to do what he has ordained. So Paul was encouraged. And when they got to Rome, Paul was allowed to live by himself with a soldier to guard him. Now he was still in chains. He speaks of being in chains later in this passage. But he was under house arrest as opposed to having to go into a prison. He had rented quarters. Okay, now, what do you do at that point? Well, I'm hoping that none of the Jews find me, okay? Because I just, you know, I've had a bunch of bad experiences with them. No, Paul sends for them. He says, see if you can gather up as many as you can of the leaders from the Jewish community. I'd like to talk to them. And so the folks come and he says, look, I want you to know I've got nothing against you. I'm here because of what some of the Jews falsely said about me. But the reason I'm on trial is because I believe what God has told us in his word. It is because of the hope of Israel, verse 20, that I'm bound with this chain. They replied, well, we'd like to hear more about what your views are, verse 22, because we know that people everywhere are talking against this sect. So they arranged to meet Paul on a certain day, and they came in even larger numbers to the place where he was staying. And he said, look, we're going to make this brief because I know you're busy and you have other things to do. Let me just share with you a few key points. Oh, wait, perhaps I misread that. From morning till evening, he explained and declared to them the kingdom of God and tried to convince them about Jesus from the law of Moses and from the prophets. Some were convinced. Others would not believe. They disagreed among themselves and began to leave after Paul had made this final statement. And the final statement was, you guys are ever seeing but not perceiving, ever hearing but not really understanding. You refuse to believe, just as God said through the prophet Isaiah. Therefore, know this, God is sending his word to the Gentiles and they're going to receive it. Well, that's the way you make friends with the Jewish community, Paul. I mean, this is the same message. Can you think of anybody besides Paul who would say something like that? Jesus quoted it. This is not something new. This is exactly what God said would happen. God's not caught off guard by this. But Paul will write in his letter to the Romans about how the unbelief of the Jews was to give us Gentiles an opportunity to be grafted in, but that God still knows who the real sons of Abraham are, and all of them, all who are really Israel, will be saved. Because in Christ, there's no longer Jew or Greek. We are all one family. So, in this last section, I want you to see that what Paul was speaking to them about, verse 23, he explained and declared to them the kingdom of God and tried to convince them about Jesus. Look at the very end of the chapter, the very end of the book. Verse 28 and following. Therefore, I want you to know that God's salvation has been sent to the Gentiles and they will listen. For 2 whole years, Paul stayed there in his own rented house, welcomed all who came to see him. Boldly and without hindrance, he preached the kingdom of God and taught about the Lord, Jesus Christ. He preached the kingdom of God. The message today is precisely about this. It is the kingdom of God that we're supposed to be proclaiming. I believe the reason that the American church is so anemic is that we have taken the good news of Jesus Christ and made it all about forgiveness. But then we go back and we read in the Gospels and it turns out Jesus came proclaiming the kingdom of God. And in fact, in John chapter 3, Jesus says, you must be born again.
Hey, amen. We believe that.
Yes, we do. You must be born again, what? In order to enter the kingdom of God. The goal is not being born again. Being born again is so that we can enter the kingdom of God. If you start at the beginning of the book of Acts and go all the way through it, you find from first to last, it's about the proclamation of the kingdom of God. And so forgiveness in Christ Jesus is so that we can receive Christ Jesus as our Lord, as our King, as our ruler, as our owner, as our master. And if you're going to know about receiving Jesus, you need to know who he is. He's Lord. He's the King. When we preach the gospel, it's the gospel of the kingdom. The good news that the God who created everything hasn't turned his back and walked away. He is still the sovereign ruler of the universe. He's in charge. He is Lord. That's what makes it possible to have courage like Paul had in the midst of the storm when the circumstances haven't changed. But you've got a word from God, and God says, you're going to make it. And when that message comes, Paul believes, because he knows that God is so much stronger than the wind and the waves, that there's no comparison. God created all things. He is still in charge. And learning about his kingdom begins with learning that God is in charge, that God is sovereign, that he's in control. When we begin to understand that he is king, that he is Lord, and we begin to worship the sovereign one, then we find out that instead of destroying us, he sent Jesus to save us. Wow! Jesus is Lord. And he washes his disciples' feet. And he says, now I want you to be like me. If the church really believes that Jesus Christ is Lord, it totally transforms the way that we live, the way that we treat each other, the way we manage our finances, the way we talk to a world that is hurting and desperately needs to know that God is holy and that he sent his son to save sinners. Just changes everything.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.
www.wearsvalleyranch.org.